Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready. Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
Boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception Perception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. Matt is back. He took a one episode break off. We brought in some guests for the very first time, Matt, which was, it's weird for us because we never have guests on the show, but it was good to have the guys that we had on.
Yeah, we've occasionally had some folks from, like, we had Brian Baldinger, you know, courtesy sure. of Odyssey before, and we had, we've had Ross Tucker on. We have had some guests, you and I, but yeah. Usually when we call on a guest, it's like, ah, shoot, James is going to miss an episode. I'm going to miss an episode. Right. You had a couple of great guests on, and it was, you know, as much as I hate to miss a show, it's good to mix it up, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Great to be back. And I tell you what, the website's on fire right now, baby, because our guy, Matt Harmon, has dropped 4 brand new profiles onto the website. Go check it out. ReceptionPerception.com. Mike Evans is on there. Calvin Ridley, T. Higgins, Hollywood Brown are the 4 names that you could find on the site right now to kind of get an update as to what might have happened there in 2023 and what we should be looking forward to here in 2024. In today's episode, I do want to talk about Mike Evans, obviously, because he just re-signed with Tampa Bay. But I also want to talk about teams that absolutely need wide receiver. And our guy Matt Harmon is so gracious enough to break it down into, like, buckets, you know, critical need, substantial need, and justifiable pursuit. Teams that, you know, you could see them making a little bit of a push at wide receiver. Nothing crazy, but we'll break it down with Matt Harmon there. But again, we talk about Mike Evans, who signed a 2-year deal worth $52 million, $35 million in guaranteed money. He's going to be 32 years old, Matt, when this going into his age 33 season when this contract is up. And I got to be honest with you, very rarely do I feel like both sides win. But man, I just felt like this contract, absolute W for both sides here.
Agree. Mike Evans gets to cash in, probably yep. his last mega deal, you would think. And from Tampa Bay's side, look, there's a couple different angles to take from this. I think the number one thing, though, that is so huge for Tampa Bay, and we so often when we're just talking about, like, you know, we're talking about these moves from a team building perspective. Yeah. Oh, where is this team going to be in 2 years? And, you know, the cap implications and all stuff. Yeah. We forget, like, these are human beings that we're talking about, and there's emotional stake here. And I think for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be able to say, like, this is a franchise legend, we don't let a franchise legend, you know, go out and test free agency. We reward that player who's come in here for a decade now and worked his tail off and mm-hmm. been an incredibly consistent producer, you know, been at various times the best player or one of the best players on the team. I think the message that sends from Tampa Bay's perspective, clearly a team, I don't know if you saw the clip, our former colleague Connor Orr, who works for Sports Illustrated now, the Bucks put out a clip of Jason Light, the GM, going up to Connor Orr and being like, hey, whatever, Jason wants to do this. Like, hey, we were a lot better than you thought we were going to be, hon. Like, hey, in fairness to Connor, like, he played that pretty well. If you haven't seen it, the Bucks account literally tweeted it out. You can go find it. But he was a good sport about it and everything. Like, I think he had projected him for 2 wins or something. Obviously, they win divisions. They win a damn playoff game. So, again, we're all going to get stuff wrong. Connor, like I said, he played that pretty well. He took it and was great about it. But clearly the Bucks don't subscribe to this idea that they should be rebuilding. They think they're a very good team. There's no reason they shouldn't feel like the division favorites going into this year. And to say, like, hey, we're not just going to let one of the best players in our franchise history go out and find greener pastures or whatever. Like, right. No, Mike Evans going to look great with a contender. No, we are the contender, and Mike Evans is going to look great with us.
Yeah, when I say this is a great deal for both sides, I mean, you got to take a look at it again. We talk about the cap. I love the point that you're making is that, yeah, there's real humans and there's relationships and there's, you know, legacy and all those kind of things, you know. But at the end of the day, Mike Evans played one of his best seasons ever in 2023, right? So again, Tampa Bay sends that message to the fan base, hey, we're not going to let this guy walk out the door. But still, at the same time, they don't lock up a lot of long-term money. Now, I get it. If you look at, you know, annual per year salary, okay, it's up there. There's no question. You know, $26 million per year. That's a lot for a guy who's going to be 32 years old, right? So I get it. But it's not a lot of long-term money, which is why I think it's a great deal for Tampa Bay. And I tell you what, after a year, Matt, if Evans doesn't like the situation that he's looking at after a year, the dude could still bounce, still go to a contender. And I tell you what, he's still got a lot of good money coming his way too. So, and oh, by the way, Mike Evans could sign another short-term deal after this one is done if he plays decently well too, because he's going to be 33 years old, right? So again, man, just a great deal, I think, for both sides. But the folks listening to this podcast aren't coming in for the salary cap reasons or whatever it might be. They want to know, Matt Harmon, this guy put up 1255, 79 receptions on 136 targets, 13 damn touchdowns, and week in and week out, you talk about highlight bias, man. This dude was on the highlight reel almost each and every week, man. Third most yards in a single season for Mike Evans. The most yards since 2018. This guy had an absolutely fantastic season. What does the RP numbers tell us about Mike Evans in 2023?
Yeah, I mean, you said it, and we talked a little bit about this last episode, and we thought, oh, he's going to hit the open market, that his profile was basically done last week. It's up on the site now. At the end of the episode, I'll kind of share the full plans for this week and going forward on profile. So do stay tuned for that, people. But Evans is on the site along with three guys right now. And the big note from the profile, you said it, it was the best year of his career in a couple of reception perception marks for one, or at least one of the best seasons of his career. For one, 73.1% success rate versus man. That was the best mark of Evans's career. And again, we're talking about a guy who's played a decade in the NFL. Right now, all throughout the reception perception era, 2014 to 2023, he has been in the NFL. So I have every single season of his charted. His 75.4% success rate versus press, that's the second best mark of his career in that category. And 77% success rate versus zone is the second best mark in that category throughout the course of his entire career. So, and we broke a lot of this down last week. If you didn't listen to that episode, but you are listening to this one, the difference in the routes that he was assigned in Dave Canales' offense versus what he was running in 2022. And I think that's a critical point, because Mike Evans's 2022 profile did leave us with some questions about, like, ooh, are we seeing, like, is this a blip? Or is this, like, maybe the start of a decline for a legendary player? Because his 72.5% success rate versus zone coverage in 2022 was pretty troubling. Because, like I said, that was That doesn't look like the rest of his career. That doesn't look like what we're used to seeing from Mike Evans. That is below expectations. And there have been times where great receivers have had that dip in success rate versus zone. I'm talking about Allen Robinson, and I'm talking about Andre Johnson, just to name a couple of guys that mm-hmm. are these like big perimeter receivers. We see them drop off, even if their man coverage scores are still, they're okay, that their success rate versus zone dropping off actually was a precursor to a giant cliff. Robinson right. in 21, Andre Johnson in 14 are the two guys we're talking about right now. And it ended up being the beginning of the end for those players, at least as like high quality starting outside receivers. For Mike Evans, it was worth wondering if that was the case. But then again, sure. all that route data that we talked about last episode, that ended up being the big primary cause, was they were just running him on way too many of these deep routes. Once they had him kind of on a mixed up route tree, run a lot more slants and out routes. He shined in RP this past year. And like I said, it was one of his best seasons to date in the NFL.
So a 59.5% success rate on the nine route in 2023, which is pretty good. Again, it's not. Yeah, that's just basically a slight dip in what we've seen from Mike Evans over the course of his career. But Matt, can you talk about his corner route per success rate and also his slant route success rate? I've got it now, and tell me if I'm wrong here. 83% success rate on the slant this year. I think that's a career high for him.
Yeah, and he's always been a guy that has, especially in these latter years of his career, and that's one thing that I love about Mike Evans, is he is really an underrated technician. Like, he's obviously a capital F freak for how big he is and how, like, he's got a huge wingspan. He's like a damn pterodactyl out there.
He really is.
And the speed that he brings to the table right. with all of that. Like, he's a physical freak, but he has really always been an underrated technician from a route running perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think that slant route success rate really does show you that. And he's always been good at that. And I, that's why I thought it was so confusing that the Byron Leftwich kind of 2022 Buccaneers offense didn't have him run a lot of slant routes. Like, it went up from 12.5% to 18.5% in this past year. So that was just, it was a misallocation of a really good player. And that was helpful. Like, these routes where you want Baker Mayfield to get the ball out, Mike Evans being available on a slant route is pretty critical there.
Yeah. And then again, when we talk about mixing up some of these routes too, especially deep, right? It's not just a, hey, go and get it, right? Like, you're not just running a fly. Yep. You're not running a straight line. You know, he ran more post routes. He ran more corner routes this year. And certainly from a corner route perspective, he did not disappoint.
No, not at all. And the out route too. I mean, 15% of his routes were out routes, which was way up from 2022, and 86.8% success rate. That's huge. And like,
that's huge.
This is a guy you want operating along the sidelines. If Baker Mayfield is going to push the ball down the field, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to want him to push it too much on these go routes. You're going to want him to push it on corner routes, on out routes. Mayfield's actually struggled throwing over the middle of the field at times. That's why he didn't really build the best connection with a guy like DJ Moore, who's really a lot better at running those routes, running go routes, but also running routes over the middle of the field too, for those yak opportunities. A guy like Odell Beckham, who obviously has really made a living at times during his Giants career running slant routes and crossing routes and all that stuff. Like, Mayfield struggles to operate that middle of the field at times, so having Mike Evans, a big perimeter receiver, working on outbreaking patterns, whether it's corner routes and out routes, that's why that connection is so important. And I was having a really good back and forth with someone from Discord, Swish_Sanders, shout out to them. That we were having a really good conversation about, like, wow, this Mike Evans contract, like, does it make sense? And my whole point, for one, you know, because he was talking about, like, the Baker Mayfield of it all, I'm like, let's not forget that, one, in my opinion, and I think, like, factually, Mike Evans is a better player and a more important player to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not just emotionally, like we talked about earlier, but also on the field. He's a more important player for them. And two, like, having Mike Evans in the fold incentivizes Baker Mayfield to come back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like,
correct.
Like, you lose Mike Evans, then you're suddenly looking at, Chris Godwin, you know, who I think is a really good two, but not a one. And then, like, Trey Palmer flashed as a rookie, but not quite sure where he is. Like, without Mike Evans, the fold wide receiver becomes a big need. And then if you're Baker Mayfield and you're talking about all these connections where he's making on these outbreaking routes, like, maybe I'm thinking about, hey, the Falcons, if they call me up to become a starting quarterback there, there's some coaching staff familiarity with some guys he played with. There is with Tampa Bay now as well, that Liam Cohen's the offensive coordinator. But you know, Zach Robinson had some experience with Baker Mayfield in L.A. Raheem Morris was there when Baker Mayfield was in L.A. Can they entice him there? What about like if Minnesota loses Kirk Cousins? Could they want to bring Baker Mayfield in? I don't think that makes a lot of sense, but could they want to do it? Like Sean Payton, I feel like, is dying for like a Baker Mayfield level quarterback in Denver. But again, so just there's all these spots that could suddenly like maybe make Baker Mayfield an offer he can't refuse. But having Mike Evans back in Tampa, I think, kind of negates some of that.
You talk about all this stuff with Baker Mayfield. I want the listeners to know, okay? This is Matt Harmon. You're talking about Baker Mayfield. Matt Harmon did not have Baker Mayfield in very high regard, all right?
No.
All right? So this is Matt talking about Baker here. I feel like Baker needs to give a 10%. He needs to cut 10% and just straight give it to Dave Canales. You know what I mean? Like, the reclamation job that Canales has done now in back-to-back seasons with Geno Smith and now Baker Mayfield, man. I mean, he is starting to establish himself as a true quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, I'm really excited about Dave Canales in Carolina. They're definitely going to come up in our team needs wide receiver discussion later on.
Obviously.
So I'm interested to see like kind of what they do from a receiver perspective and all that stuff. But I think Canales has really acquitted himself well. Every time he talks publicly, he's an impressive guy. Like I thought that Dave Canales would be, if he came back to Tampa and had another good year with Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans and all these guys, I thought there was a chance that Dave Canales would be like the hottest offensive coordinator coaching candidate in the 2025 cycle.
Totally.
But when you're Carolina and you're like, well, we're not going to be good this year anyways, most likely. we're not going to be any more attractive now than we are now. Like, We're jumping a year, but we need to jump a year, okay? Because who else are we going to attract? I think that's why the Canales actually made sense for them. I like Dave Canales. I like the way he talks. I like the way he thinks about football anytime he talks about it publicly. And the proof is in the pudding for these offenses that, especially in Tampa, that he has really acquitted himself well as a designer and coordinator. And I do think he's a little – and some of this maybe is he comes from Pete Carroll's tree. He's a little – early down run heavy. I think he's not going to get away from that just because that's the philosophy. That maybe would be my one nitpick. But from a pass game standpoint, it's clear he got it. And I don't know, James. I don't know how I feel about, you know, Liam Cohen, who's gone from college to the NFL, back to college. Now he's back in the NFL. Like, I don't really know what he's going to bring to the table as an offensive coordinator. So that is at least a big outstanding question when we're talking about the 2024 Bucks and Baker Mayfield and all this stuff running itself back.
Nah, it's true. Just to put a button on this conversation, man, obviously Mike Evans had one of the best years of his career. We're talking about, again, the third most yards in a single season for Mike Evans, tied for the second most touchdowns. He had a career high. He had 13 this year, but career high 14 touchdowns in 2021. That was with Tom Brady. All right, so 136 targets as well, also the most he's seen since 2018. As well. Great season for Mike Evans. And I think if there's one takeaway, and I love this about reception perception, especially in regards to Big Mike, is that he is not just a run downfield and go get it guy. That's not what he is, man. He is an absolute complete route runner. And I think RP has certainly shown that. And despite the fact that this guy's, you know, again, a highly regarded player, I almost feel like he is still an underrated player in the NFL, because I think too many, you know, regular fans just feel like Mike is again, just one of those, you know, nine route specialists, and that's just not what he is.
Yeah, I don't know if he's underrated anymore just because people talk so much about his consistent production, all that stuff. I would say that he's definitely a stereotyped player, right? Because of that stuff.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Where he's just a jump ball specialist, and he's just to go down the field and pluck it out of the air. But you know, I had a conversation with Mike Evans, I think it was like 2-3 years ago at this point, just like about his approach from a route running standpoint and how he has worked to get better. Because I mean, you look back at Mike Evans's early seasons, and I mean they were never bad, right? In reception perception, they had a lot of really, really good years, but like he fought from being like a, I mean, 67, 68%, 69% kind of receiver in his first 4 years. And then he's consistently, except in 22, been over 70% for like five of the last 6 years. So right. like that again, I think shows you that improvement and where he's put that work in to be. Obviously, like I said, capital F freak, man. He's really a very unique specimen at this position, right. but right. the work and detail and the craftsmanship of it, like I can assure you, based on talking to him, this he takes that part of the game extremely seriously.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so this is a chess piece that is taken off of the board, as there were a lot of teams, Matt, that really wanted Mike Evans, I think, in at least to make a pitch to Mike, you know, to see if he might consider changing teams here. So obviously Tampa Bay makes a move. They re-sign Mike Evans, 2-year deal. Great, great, great. All right, now there are a lot of teams, man, that would love to at least have that conversation. Like I said, you would think Chiefs would be among the top teams there trying to make a push. Now you've got them, the Chiefs, obviously a team that is a critical need team that needs an absolute wide receiver, a stud wide receiver. Walk me through some of these other teams that you think absolutely cannot leave the draft, cannot leave this offseason without a tier one wide receiver.
You look at how many teams need a receiver, and then you suddenly understand, like, Mike Evans, you know, being the fourth highest APY receiver, like, who knows what he could have gotten on the open market had he actually got out there, you know? Like, that's I have no idea, but he could have ended up with a crazy contract. But, yeah, so like, I think I have 20 teams in the league here just in these three buckets, because let's be clear about one thing. Basically every team needs a receiver, like, because there's, you play so many, you roster so many. So, like,
sure,
any team needs, basically any team needs some level of help in their receiving core. But I think these 20-ish teams are really, like, stand out to me. And so I bucketed them kind of into three groups here. One is critical need, like you mentioned, which critical need to me means you need to come away with at least one verifiable starting option. Okay, like, you are at a point in your roster building where your team, if you go into the week one with the group you have right now, you have failed. Like, you need to have another starting caliber option in the building.
Right.
Substantial need, which is the next group down, means I think you would benefit by adding someone that is a possible starter. I think it is clearly a need on your roster, but you know, you can walk out in week one and not be totally embarrassed for one reason or another, whether it's you have a superstar, but your number two receiver is light, or, you know, maybe you're just not a team that's going to be built around the wide receiver position. So that's kind of this group. Like, I think it behooves you to add another possible 1-2-3 starter, but it's not, like, as bad as some of these others. And then justifiable pursuit. These teams are interesting, and I think once we get there, the folks will understand why, like, exactly what this group is. It's a group of teams that maybe on paper, I'll just say the Bengals are in this group. Like, on paper, if Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, what do they need a receiver? Well, Tyler Boyd is leaving in free agency. T. Higgins is on the franchise tag. Maybe he ends up getting traded. Either way, maybe he walks in 25. So if they add a high caliber receiver that is a possible
smart move,
possible starter in 11 personnel, and maybe smart their future move. Number two receiver, like, it's a justifiable pursuit.
All right, let's talk about some of these teams that you've got bucketed as critical needs. Okay, and obviously the number one team that comes to mind, Kansas City Chiefs. I get it. Everyone gets it. Now, you also got the Buffalo Bills in here, which I think most people, if you follow football, you get it. Gabe Davis is probably moving on in free agency. They've got Stephon Diggs, who was, again, I don't know, a deprioritized player, especially down the stretch there for the Bills. Walk me through the Buffalo Bills with a critical need there at wide receiver.
Yeah, I think with Buffalo, it's just where is Stephon Diggs at this point in his career? That's a big question. Just where, like, is this a guy that, one, is even on your roster? Like, is on your roster this year? I think probably yes. He's probably on the Bills roster this year. But he's 30 years old. So you got to start thinking about, like, the future of your receiver position.
I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised you don't think that it's a slam dunk. Like, I mean, you described it as probably, as if there was some kind of maybe some wiggle room there. I don't know. I think it's an absolute slam dunk he's on the roster. I don't know. Actually, I'm more curious into that. What gives you some pause there and makes you think, okay, maybe Buffalo moves on from Diggs?
Just because it's Diggs. And,
like, okay, fair. I mean, okay, that's fair. Actually, that's pretty
just because it's my good pal Stephon Diggs, and like, you know, he's a bit of a mercurial guy, and like,
sure, I think 100%
even said in some interviews that, you know, hey, we'll see what happens type of thing, which I think it's just him being a little coy.
Yeah,
being,
yeah.
Right. You know, look, like, nobody knows what the future could be, and I think that maybe if they just think that relationship has run its course.
Yep.
And they can cash in and maybe trade him, and maybe they do need salary cap relief. Now, trading Steph Diggs does not give them salary cap relief necessarily, because they would incur a big dead cap charge. So that's why I think it's like 99.3% he's on the roster.
Okay. Fair enough. So the Bills obviously looking for a number two, potentially a replacement level here for Diggs as well.
I think what they need in an ideal world is and, you know, we haven't mentioned it yet, but this draft class is really loaded with receivers and
stacked.
Loaded with starting caliber, potentially outside receivers, which is different from last draft class for sure, where there was a lot of, like, smaller slots. And I think that's perfect for Buffalo, who needs to consider, we need somebody that's going to start on the outside from week one that is a quality number two right away, or, you know, like a a guy that can be kind of equal with Khalil Shakir, who I love Khalil Shakir, and I think like if this player that I'm talking about, this hypothetic rookie, is a he's an 80 target guy and Shakir's an 80 target guy and, you know, Dalton Kincaid's doing his thing, like I think that's fine, but you need somebody that's a threat from the outside from day one, and then you need to also hope that that player can potentially develop into your long-term number one.
Okay, so who else is in this bucket that you think absolutely needs to walk away with a high-level either prospect or starter there coming into this offseason?
Well, like you mentioned the Chiefs, and I think that's kind of been talked to death. We all know that the Chiefs need – Rashee Rice is a great player, but they need somebody like they need an outside receiver. They need someone with size that can play X, that can beat man press coverage on the outside consistently. Like that's not Rashee Rice's game right now based on his rookie year film. So you need somebody that can do that, that can split that load with Rashee Rice, who I think is a really good quality starter going forward. I will say this, and like cover your ears if you're into dynasty football and you're nervous about the landing spots for Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison and Roma Dunze, who I think are all top 10 picks. Like you look at a lot of the teams in the top 10, a lot of them need receivers. Tennessee Titans are in this group to me. The New York Giants are in this group to me. The New England Patriots are in this group to me. Those three are probably like, hey, let me tell you what, if they don't, maybe Tennessee, I don't know, because Will Levis, like, depends on your perspective of Will Levis, but like, I know for a fact, you're not getting gassed up if you're a Malik Nabers guy and he goes to the damn Patriots, or a Marvin Harrison guy and he goes to the damn Patriots at number three. Same thing really with like the Giants at pick six. They're probably not, you know, doing backflips over that. But those three are all critical need receiver teams. Also, though, I would say two teams that are potentially exciting that are picking in the top 10 that have a critical need at receiver: Arizona Cardinals and Chicago Bears. Now, I think the Cardinals are obvious. We'll talk about Marquise Brown on the next episode this week and sort of his reception perception profile, but it is on the site. Mm-hmm. He's an upcoming free agent. I kind of tend to think he's not back in Arizona. They would then have a just gaping hole. Even with Brown on the roster, I think they have a gaping hole at wide receiver. And then Chicago is interesting as well. DJ Moore played at an all-pro level last year. I mean, DJ Moore is a stone-cold baller. They ain't got nothing else going on at wide receiver. So like I think they're an ideal team to pick Caleb Williams at first overall. And then I would even say maybe trade up from that ninth pick. And maybe the Chargers at five, who are desperately probably trying to trade down. Like, I wonder if they look at off the top of my head, like, remember the Texans got a bunch of crap for trading inside the top 10 again. You know, giving up a future first round pick. The Bears are loaded with capital. I wonder if they look at like, hey, we could have a real big turnaround. We nail franchise quarterback. We get a playmaker in the top 10, obviously, and move up a little bit to do it. Just get two great players. Like, I think they're a team that could definitely do that. Take Caleb Williams and then take a receiver in the top 10. And then you've got a great 1-2 pairing for that player Caleb Williams, who they take at number one overall, with DJ Moore and a rookie receiver.
Yeah, when we talked to Kevin Knight with Falcoholics, you know, I think Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze are maybe potentially somewhere in that 8-9 category, depending on what the Giants end up doing. So, it's going to be fascinating, I think, in the top 10. And to your point, Matt, I would not be surprised to see a surprise team, whether it's Chicago, whether it's somebody else, trying to move up into that top 10 and try to get one of these, you know, absolute, you know, and again, it all depends on how the draft falls. It all depends, you know, like if Odunze starts falling, if Neighbor starts falling a little bit, I think some of these teams might be really intrigued to try to climb up there and grab some of these guys, because, man, these boys can absolutely play. All right, so you've got Cardinals, Bills. We talked about the Panthers, I think, to death. Yeah.
Panthers are the other team here that just, like, you can't do that again, okay?
No.
Number one, DJ Chark is going to be a free agent. I mean, DJ Chark is worst receiver charted from 2022, and then the Panthers signed him and were like, let's just move on. No more words need to be said. But I don't know what they're going to do with Mingo. I think they need to find a better plan for Jonathan Mingo.
Yeah.
But that plan also kind of looks like what they had Adam Thielen doing last year. So I'm a little confused on how that's going to how that's going to overlap there. They desperately need somebody to win on the outside. Nobody on the roster can currently do that. So they're definitely a critical need team.
All right. We've talked about these critical need teams. What about substantial need teams? Give me some teams out here that pop out to you and what you'd like to see them do.
Yeah, I'll just throw out all my substantial need teams and you can tell me which ones really interest you. I got the Ravens here. I got the Broncos here. I got the Jaguars here. I got the Chargers here. I got the Jets. I got the Commanders and I got the Colts. So there's a lot of teams here that, with a lot of players I really like, right? Like, I really like Zay Flowers. I really like Christian Kirk. Courtin Sutton had a great year last year. Keenan Allen probably plays for the Chargers this year, but Mike Williams probably doesn't. You know, obviously, Garrett Wilson is a superstar. Terry McLaurin is a Jahan, and John Dotson. I like both of those players, but like Curtis Samuel's leaving. And then the Colts, like, I love Michael Pittman. I think by the time this episode is posted, at some point he will be a franchise tag player by the Indianapolis Colts. But,
right.
You know, Alec Pierce hasn't really caught on. Josh Downs is a really good player, but like I think they could use.
Yeah, I was going to say. Interesting.
I mean, look, yeah, I like, look, we can talk about the Colts. I like Michael Pittman a ton. His profile is going to be on the site here in the next couple of days, if not already up by the time you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. And you know, you guys know I like Josh Downs, but like those two are also very like specific players.
Okay.
Josh Downs is probably best as a slot flanker. But like and then Michael Pittman is a big receiver, but and I kind of think there's more to Michael Pittman's game than just this like possession stuff, but he's not really like a downfield burner type, you know. I think they could use somebody that could do what they hoped Alec Pierce could do, and it just hasn't quite happened yet, as like a guy that can line up outside and beat press man coverage and dictate coverage vertically and separate vertically. That has not been, like, Pierce has been way too inconsistent at that. There's been some good moments. There's been some really bad moments for Pierce as well.
I don't disagree with all of what you just said there, but when you take it in totality, I would disagree. I don't think that the Colts are a substantial need team. I look at wide receiver for them, and especially because of their age group too. I mean, they're all really young. They're developing players. I think when you look at them in totality, I actually kind of sort of like what they've got. I agree with you that Pierce is obviously an inconsistent player. But sometimes when he pops, he pops, which is, I think, what we kind of sort of like about his game. I will say this. I think the Chargers could actually or should actually be in the critical need team because, look, they have absolutely struck out with their first-round pick from last year.
Yeah.
In Quentin Johnston. And because they're in salary cap hell, they're either going to move on from Mike Williams or, God forbid, they move on from Keenan Allen. But again, Allen just, and I've said this, I've been saying this for a long time, they could move on from both try to restart at wide receiver, especially given this draft class. So I don't know. That's a team that's teetering right there, right on the cusp of critical need. And it's, and again, by the way, Keenan Allen's not a young man. You know what I mean? So they could look for a little bit of youth there too. Again, and it's unfortunate because they spent a freaking first round pick on a young wide receiver, and I just don't think it's going to work out there with LA.
Yeah, and especially it's a previous coaching staff, previous regime. Yep. Like you probably just lit that pick on fire, right? Like that's probably what that is. So with Quentin Johnson is who we're talking about. So I'm operating under the assumption, having them in substantial need, that they move on from Mike Williams, but Keenan Allen is back. Yeah. Now, if Keenan Allen is not back, I mean, they have the worst receiver room in the league, most likely. I think Josh Palmer is like a fine number three, but he's not a great number three.
Yeah.
But clearly, I'm saying like they need to add bodies here. Like it would be irresponsible if they had no wide receivers. And I think they will add a receiver at some point. But if it's Keenan Allen and Josh Palmer and, like, I mean, we'll just roll the dice with Quentin Johnson, then they definitely need someone in that top three to start for them. But obviously, if Keenan Allen's not there, they would be in the critical need category.
You know what's – you want to know the craziest thing in the whole world, Matt? So when you look at positional spending by team, all right, the Chargers are actually number one in terms of spending for wide receiver. They are spending $76 million on wide receiver as they enter 2024. Now, obviously, that's going to change. as they start cutting players and doing all those things. But $76 million committed to wide receiver right now, Matt. Number two, Seattle Seahawks. And they are at $60 million. They're at $60 million. They've got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And they're at $60
million. The and a first Chargers. Round pick, like,
and a first round pick. Yeah, exactly.
You actually, oh, they're man. Actually not, from just an on paper perspective, it's two veterans and a first round pick, which is, and the Chargers, at least, like, again, I'm not the biggest Josh Palmer fan in the world, but he's a useful player, and he's like a guy that's on a rookie, like a day two rookie contract. I think he was a third round pick. They're Seahawks, so he doesn't really fit into this equation. But yeah, it's like, again, two veteran receivers, first round pick. Seahawks have that. It's just like the three guys that they have, even if you're a little underwhelmed by JSN's rookie year, like the three guys that they have, you feel pretty good about all three of those guys. Like, again, maybe JSN, you wish you had a better rookie year. Maybe Tyler Lockett is definitely like a little maybe overpaid at this point for what he's going to give you. But then you'll just look at the Chargers and like, yikes. We're definitely going to cut one of these guys. We might have to cut two. And our first round pick last year was a stone cold disaster.
$76 million dedicated to wide receiver, and they might have the worst wide receiver. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, crazy. Bad. That is not good. Okay, so that's where we're at with the substantial need. Teams, what about justifiable pursuit? And again, you highlighted the Bengals. I thought that one was pretty interesting. And I would also say you've put the Eagles on here. Well, hold on now. What are you doing putting the Eagles on justifiable pursuit? They've got two studs.
Well, I mean, honestly, not too dissimilar from what the Bengals are dealing with. And just all that, we'll talk about the Eagles, but all the teams I have in justifiable pursuit: Bengals, Eagles, Lions, Browns, Texans, Rams. Wow. So a lot of similar teams here. The Browns, obviously, I think have the weakest receiver room.
Well, yeah.
They're kind of similar with the Lions, to be quite honest. But, like, again, for the most part, these two teams have two guys you feel pretty good about starting week one next year. But there are depth questions and there are future questions. And with the Eagles, let's be real here, man. There are depth questions and there are future questions, because, like, everybody is assuming they have no depth. And I know everybody that plays fantasy loves, like, concentrated targetry for years. They only throw the ball to the good players. And you know me, buddy. I'm all about, like, throw the ball to the good players.
100%. But, like, 100%.
But when you're going, like, we're either throwing the ball to our good players, so it's A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, or, like, we're running out Julio Jones in the year 2023 or Quez Watkins. Like, there can't be such a dramatic drop-off from the top two to everybody else, which is what the Bengals are staring down this year with Tyler Boyd hitting free agency. And I don't think he's coming back. And frankly, Tyler Boyd's really never been that good of a player.
No.
But he's been better than, like, Julio at this stage or Quez Watkins, right? So the Eagles are a more dramatic example. But the biggest thing here for me with the Eagles is just, like, what are we going to do from a future contract perspective? Because they have A.J. Brown right now on a big deal.
Okay.
Devonta Smith's coming up. I mean, he's a guy that's going to be eligible for an extension. He's a guy that's probably going to want an extension.
Oh, yeah.
Do you maybe want to just, like, and we know Howie Roseman, like, you can mock running backs and linebackers and safety. Like, no, he is a premium position guy. So there's definitely a scenario where he, in the middle of the 20s this year, like middle-ish 20s in the first round, where Howie Roseman says, hey, this is a great receiver class. Like, I'm taking another receiver because I need a wide receiver three, and I need somebody that can be on a cheap rookie contract and develop down the line.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Yeah, it's he's taking it to the extreme, though. Their linebacker play was so bad last year, and it cost them games. You know, their linebacker play was so bad. Unbelievable stuff. But yeah, by the way, you mentioned the Bengals. This was an interesting positional spending note, but the Bengals are the only team in the NFL. They have $0 allocated in 2024 to tight end. Zero. you talk about a positional need there. Obviously, the Bengals probably looking at tight end. And by the way, spending at tight end there too, whether it's, you know, high draft capital for a tight end or whether it's through free agency, the Bengals, you know, could address, again, that pass catching depth at tight end versus a third wide receiver too. So Bengals have a couple of different ways I think they could try to kind of attack some of the target share there left behind. So it is interesting. Okay, I feel like we've talked about the Lions a lot. And again, I think the Lions are not in this group. I think they're in the tier ahead. I think they have a substantial need here. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been absolutely lights out, fantastic, Matt. But golly, what are we working with outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown? I think they have a substantial need at wide receiver.
I'm with you. It just does kind of depend on your opinion of Jameson Williams. And like, they were very insistent at the combine that he is ready to be a starter. It sucks that we're like talking going into year three and like now he's ready to be a starter, but he's had an admittedly volatile off the field career. Bad guy or anything, but just the injuries and the gambling suspension and like, you know, some of the weird stuff in the preseason. So, if he can get going and like the thing about it is like, for Jameson Williams, and I think this is where you also have to view the team in totality, which is a good point about the Bengals, right? Because they have such a need at tight end that like they're it almost makes their receiver need even more pressing because it's not like they have a locked and loaded tight end, whereas at least with the Eagles, they have Dallas Goedert to kind of be that third target. With the Lions, like even if Jameson Williams is a starting receiver for the Lions, he's probably still like their fifth most important offensive or skill position player you got St. Brown, you got Laporta, you got Jahmyr Gibbs, you got David Montgomery, and like, all right, fine, then we'll throw a vertical heater to Jameson Williams every now and again.
That's a good point.
Right?
That's a good point.
So that's why it's like, do they really need to go all out at receiver? I think it would be great if they added another body that could be an outside the numbers, kind of like a true X, because I even think Jameson Williams at his best is probably not a true X receiver. I bet they disagree with me, but that's just my opinion on where he should line up. Let's get another option in here that could potentially do the X receiver stuff. But if they don't do it, like if they add that player might be the sixth most important skill position player they're trying to get the ball to. So like, how much is it really going to move the needle?
I guess I'm basing this off the fact I don't think that Jameson Williams is going to amount to very much, you know.
I think that's fair. And I think that's fair, by the way.
I know the team's trying to talk him up. I'm sure they don't want to submarine their first round pick either, right? Just like I'm sure the Chargers, although with the new coaching staff there with, who was it?
Jim Harbaugh.
I'm thinking about the Michigan quarterback instead of the head coach there. But Harbaugh's in the fold. He's not going to pull any punches. He don't care. You know, he
doesn't care one bit. And also, by the way, like, you think Greg Roman wants to throw the ball that much anyways? No, they don't care about receivers.
That's a good point, man. Oh my God, man, the Chargers is such a weird place because everyone wants Justin Herbert to be the next great quarterback, and now he's got Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh calling plays for him. Interesting stuff there for the Chargers, no question about it. Last team I kind of want to talk about here were the Rams. Okay, so you say justifiable pursuit. Again, Puka Nacua just came out of nowhere. You said he's a superstar. Cooper Kupp, we know he's, you know, again, a year removed from the Triple Crown, man. Is this a team that really is justifiable looking for a wide receiver?
Yeah, they're, I think, one of these teams, and, you know, you could bucket, like, Miami into this. You could even bucket, like, Minnesota into this. Like, these are teams that, shoot, the Raiders after Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers, like, they could probably use another receiver. I just think for the Rams' sake, like, they quietly brought back DeMarcus Robinson, who quietly gave them some really good moments at the end of last year. So yeah, that is one thing. And then, but also, you know, Cooper Kupp's getting up there. Cooper Kupp showed some concerning health signs last year. And then even when he was on the field, his charting data did not look the same, like, from a reception perception standpoint. So I think it would behoove them to continue to push the pursuit on offense here. They were great on offense last year. One more dimension might not be the worst thing in the world for them offensively.
They're in a little bit of a weird spot too, because I believe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, so they're 10th highest in terms of spending at wide receiver. Puka Nacua's, I mean, free. Right. So where are they spending all this money? Obviously, a lot of it is on Cooper Kupp, but man, they are in a weird, weird spot in terms of spending at that position. So I think you're right. I mean, trying to attack it in the draft with another cheap option, I think makes a lot of sense, because you don't want to be top 10 in spending at wide receiver, Matt, where one of your top players, Puka Nacua, is basically playing for free. You know what I mean? So interesting positional spending.
I think they're still paying some dead money from the Robinson, Allen Robinson deal. You know, Cooper Kupp's obviously highly paid, but the good thing is, though, for the first time ever, the Rams like have a first round pick. Have a first round pick this year.
Hey,
they also have
wide receiver, maybe.
Okay, they have a second. Like, in this class, I would be a little bit surprised. Now, I don't have a fourth round pick, but I'd be a little bit surprised if they don't come away with one guy in the receiver room that, like, they think they can groom a little bit. And they've certainly had some really good luck in the draft. Even on day three, they've had great luck, obviously, with Puka Nacua, of course. But, you know, Cooper Kupp is a third round pick. So, like, even if they spend a third round pick or something on a receiver, if as long as they feel like that guy has a real clear role on their team, because that's what's been the secret sauce for the Rams in terms of receivers, is not just getting good players, and they clearly got good players in Puka and Cooper Kupp, but drafting guys that they have a clear vision for. Like, hey, Cooper Kupp's going to be this very unique, big slot, almost tight end type of receiver at times early in his career. Puka Nacua is going to come in and run these, like, big over routes and all this stuff, like, clear vision. And the Tutu Atwell vision took a few years, but they did finally get to it this past year, where, and it's not the most valuable role, but it's like, we're going to do pre-snap motion and we're going to get big shot plays off that at times, very inconsistently. So, the Rams do generally scout receivers well and have a clear vision for those players.
Forget about clear vision, Matt. As long as you've got Sean McVay, you're good. Okay.
Yeah, totally.
McVay.
There's a reason they have a clear vision. That's why they have a clear vision.
It's just ridiculous, man. Like, think about it. You know, this guy is an outside zone coach. His entire career outside zone. Okay, they bring in a guy who can't run outside zone. You know what they do? They switch it up. They run gap scheme. Again, Puka Nacua. Nothing against Puka Nacua, but there's a reason why, from an athletic profile and all that, because he fell in the draft, right? Okay, they see this guy. They're going to develop this guy. And also, by the way, Sean McVay doesn't generally play a lot of rookies, because, again, his offense is pretty complex. It takes some rookies some time. So big ups to Puka Nacua for picking up the playbook that fast. But Sean McVay, again, is like, hey, man, we got to get this guy out here. And we got to get this guy plays. You know, he's changing it up, where generally rookies don't play very much in his systems. But from the word go, we got to get Puka Nacua out there. So, man, McVay's just been, he's just been brilliant. It's been unbelievable. Anyways, with that, that's your show. Great show. I love talking about Mike Evans. Anytime we can talk about Big Mike and his route running ability, I like it, because, again, I think he's just such an underrated route runner there in the NFL. But interesting stuff. There's a lot of teams that obviously need a lot of wide receivers. When we come back in a couple of days here, we're going to break down a few more of these, using air quotes, free agents. Where are they going to end up? Calvin Ridley, T. Higgins, Hollywood Brown. Talk about some of the RP findings for some of these guys. But for now, we got to go. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you. And remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. Peace.